You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Celebrate Canada's 150th and treat yourself to a brand new Silverado. 20% off MSRP cash credit on select vehicles right now at Lakewood Chev.
Let's go to Hamilton. Jamie Thomas, finally back on the show. Looking to go to the big time after playing in the minors on the morning show for such a long time. JT, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm awesome. The best part about that was Eric wrote that intro for me. That was awesome.
Okay. Well, great creative writing. I appreciate that. So that's well done. You've got a big career in front of you there, Eric. So that's great. Thanks.
Now, the Hamilton Tiger Cats, man, right now they're looking like they're playing in the CIS. They're getting crushed defensively. It's brutal. And you know what? I find when I read all these stories in Hamilton, no one's looking to say, hey, when are they going to bring in some good players? Because the last few years, they really haven't added anybody who's an impact player.
No, it's been tough to watch. And I think sometimes, Manuel Davis, they re-signed in the offseason. They brought in Abdul Kane, who's been, was instrumental. Big part of Ottawa's Grey Cup championship, but we saw him in training camp for probably about 2 weeks, then hadn't seen him, and then just last week he practiced in pad, shoulder pad, the full meal deal and everything. Thought maybe he would play against BC. That didn't happen, and he hasn't even been on the practice field this week at all. And it was a short week, that is, but it can't be a good sign when he's not wearing pads or he's just wearing shorts and a t-shirt at practice this week. They don't play again until Calgary next Saturday. But, man, it's been tough. The front four, nothing wrong with it. You can't go wrong with Simone Lawrence as your linebacker. Will Hill's been a nice addition in the offseason outside of a suspension. But that back grouping, man, it's tough to watch on a nightly basis.
Yeah, and offensively, now Zach Calero's injuries played a part in it. I know last year when Hamilton suffered, everyone was like, well, they lost their starting QB, and that's going to be a factor. And to a point, that is true. But any of the quarterbacks they brought in, like Mazzoli, I know he had some decent numbers. You just can't win with Jeremiah Mazzoli, in my opinion.
No. And you saw a little bit of everything. I mean, there was a perfect example of Jeremiah Mazzoli in Edmonton last year, right? In that game, the greatest comeback in the history of the CFL. You had bad Jeremiah in the first half, and then you saw the capabilities that he has in the second half during that comeback. And he was 3-3 as a starting quarterback when Zach was out last year in the first six games of that knee injury. If they go to him, if they ever had to, I mean, he'd be capable for a little bit, but do you really want to rely on Jeremiah Mazzoli? No, you don't. But the big issue has been Zach Calero staying upright, and that falls on the offensive line. Now, they've done some tinkering with that, and they were a little bit better against BC. And we saw some flashes of the old Zach Calero where he's actually using his legs. I think he's finally mentally past that hurdle of the knee injury. Albeit that was through one game, but we saw it for a bit last year. Remember when he came back from the knee injury, four games, he was through the roof. I think he had 16 touchdown passes. And people are talking about him winning most outstanding player after missing six games. But then it's just they've won four total games since Zach Caleros came back last August. So it's been dry in that aspect. But they saw a little bit of life offensively in that game against the BC Lions. But it was only in the first and fourth quarters. And then there was a bad dry spell in the second and third. So consistency offensively has been what's eluding them so far.
Jamie Thomas from TSN 1150 in Hamilton joins us. And so can they turn it around? Have you seen any signs? Because defensively, obviously, they're getting torched. But have you seen anything that says, you know what, they still have the pieces offensively, or with the Tolliver injury, like, is this just going to be another lost season for the Tiger Cats?
Well, they're in a tough stretch here, right? They're in the middle of a six consecutive games against the West Division. Clearly, there hasn't been much change in that theme in the Canadian Football League this year, that West is clearly the best right now. Until the East starts to get away from them, which it hasn't, because Toronto's in first at 2-2, and Montreal's there at 2-3, I still think they can turn it around. But if they start, they got Edmonton tonight, they've got at Calgary next week, then at Edmonton. If they're like 0-6, and Ottawa starts getting their act together, and Montreal starts playing half season, which they kind of have been, then you have to look at it as a lost season. But until I see the East starting to separate itself or get better, I think the Ticats are always going to be in the conversation, and they're going to be okay in 2017 as well.
Yeah, well, six games against the West, you're right. When you got Edmonton and BC and Calgary, who I think are the three best teams in the league. They could be out of it very quickly. I know that last year you had nobody with a winning record, and the East ended up winning the Grey Cup, but I think that was more of an anomaly than anything else.
100%. And I think it was just a special night. Bo Levi Mitchell wasn't himself. There was a lot of things about the Calgary Stampeders that went off. But anytime the Ticats have ran up against the West, it's been ugly. And it's been, you go back to last August, 53-7, they beat the Saskatchewan Roughriders. But that was at the lowest point of the Chris Jones era in Saskatchewan. So they're even starting to get a lot better. So it's, 0-6 is a bad look. We're not talking about making changes in the head coach or anything like that, but there's, I think patience would start to get out a little thin in a very patient football town here in Hamilton.
How much patience does Bob Young have, and how much rope does Kent Austin have?
Well, to me, I don't think you can make a change until after the season if this goes sideways.
Okay.
It wouldn't make any sense because you have two. Kent has his hands in on everything, right? He's player personnel. He's essentially the general manager. He's the head coach. All decisions are made through him. So every guy that's here is a Kent Austin choice. So I don't think you'd want a clean house until a little bit later when the season is over. So if they miss the playoffs, I can't see how he could even escape that. At this point, even though he's been here for such a long time, had great success early on, but this year and last year, you can't tell me that he would be able to survive that if things go poorly here. And I've outside of that quarter one and quarter four against the BC Lions, I haven't seen anything yet to tell me that they're going to be any better this year than they were last year.
Nick Lewis is coming up on our show here in about 10 minutes time. Got his 1,000th reception last night. Is Lewis one of the greatest receivers ever, or is he just a really good receiver with great longevity?
Oh, man, I've watched him so many times when he was a member of the Calgary Stampeders. He just always found a way to get open. He's changed quite a bit, but I think he's playing with much lesser talent at the quarterback position. I mean, it's a little bit of an upgrade. Darian Durant there, I still think he's a great receiver. I saw way too much of his greatness when he was with the Stampeders. He just, the longevity plays a part in it, but I think the Hall of Fame is certainly in his future for sure, because there was no one you could rely on more with the Calgary Stampeders when he was there than Nick Lewis. And he was a constant year, night after night, just a workhorse and a veteran leader all the time on the field too as well. So I think he's great. He's a great receiver. He's going to be a Hall of Famer when all is said and done.
Oh, yeah. I think he's six catches shy of Terry Vaughn for third, 17 behind Cahoon, and he needs 29 to catch G. Roy Simon. So you think about it, they've got, 14 games remaining. He basically has to average just over two catches per game, and then he'll finish up his career, even if he plays another one, as the leading all-time leading receptions in CFL history.
And he's also a great quote, right? He's just an easy guy to go to in the locker room. It doesn't matter the situation. So I've been a big fan of his for the longest time, and I think what he's done is incredible and that he keeps doing it. Even that he was doing it last year with Rakeem Cato as his quarterback just speaks to how good of a receiver Nick Lewis is, because Rakeem Cato is one of the worst quarterbacks I've seen in years in the Canadian Football League.
And last one. How much impact does Eric Tillman have when it comes to bringing in players? Like, I know he has the title of GM. Is he kind of the guy out scouting to get players?
Yeah, he does. Like, it's his advice, and he's very good at finding talent. But again, as I mentioned earlier, it's Ken Austin's decision, right? Eric can offer as much advice as possible. He's very good at that. We all know that. Although he had a rough stretch in Edmonton, yeah. I think he's got a proven track record, man. But I think he's found right guys. It's just, it hasn't worked because of the injuries, and maybe it is the system. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, because I look at everything that they have, and you see them, they practice so well, and they look great in training camp. It just doesn't come together on game day. So I don't know if that's on Tillman. I think it's more an indictment of Ken Austin and, of course, the injuries in play. But I think Eric Tillman does a great job finding talent.
Well, I will say this, Jamie, going back and looking at Tillman's career, he went to a lot of teams when they were good, just like he went to Hamilton when they were good. And now, and then for him to bring in his new guys, he never has the same success after. And so that's where I wonder, is he truly as good at bringing in talent, or is he a guy who goes to organizations who has talent, can maybe put one or two pieces together to fix it, but if he has to be the guy to replenish the system, I don't know if he has that skill set based on when I've looked at his track record after coming in when a team's good.
Yeah, and I think you can't argue with the fact that the Ticats' injuries have really killed them, but I have to agree with you. I think the jury's still out on that aspect. I really think they found something in Will Hill. Like every once in a while, a player will pop up and he'll be like, wow, I can't believe that guy's here or whatever. Because Will Hill, of course, was at one time signed a contract for $10 million. He just couldn't stop smoking dope. That's why he's here in the Canadian Football League. But it's those types of finds that I think where Eric shines. But until Hamilton does anything, I think I'd have to agree with you. It's hard to fully pat him on the back for finding the right players to get the job done here in the CFL.
Jamie, great stuff, buddy. We'll have to get you back on. Your A game is top shelf. We've seen that. And
hey, man, I've been saving up for 7 years, pal. So
I love it. Well, you're on the enemy. We couldn't have you on. It wasn't by my choice. That was their choice.
I know.
They were scared.
Yeah,
now you came to the right side, so you're good to go.
I'm starting to look a little more red than blue, I hear. So.
All right, Jamie, good to talk to you again.
Okay, buddy, all the best.